Hi, this is Maria Howell, and you're listening to the Actors Lounge with Mel V.
Hey, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Actors Lounge. I'm your host, Mel V, and today we have with us a very special guest. Please welcome to the show actress, singer, and voiceover artist, Maria Howell. Hi, Maria. How's it going?
Oh, going great, Mel. How are you?
I'm doing really good. I'm glad to have you on the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Pleasure to be here.
Definitely. So, Maria, I know you've been in the business, you know, a good number of years. So I first want you to take us back to the beginning. Like, how did you get started acting? I know it's probably like a long story, but yeah, I just want to know, like, how did you get started acting?
It's okay because I've done it so many times now. I've memorized it. No,
I'm sure you have.
I basically got started. My first acting role was The Color Purple,
right,
as the choir soloist. Cool. And I was so excited to do it because it involved singing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people didn't know that I'm a singer first. And I say singer first because that's what I did first, mm-hmm. You know, from high school, college, and moving on from there. But I was able to sing and act in the same project, and I was so excited. I didn't even know what A Color Purple was, but that's how I got my start. I didn't. Wow. I read the book on set.
Yeah,
I had no idea. I had never heard of it. Mm-hmm.
Wow,
I had never heard of Color Purple, of the Color Purple book,
yeah.
And so I was like, I need to rush and find out what this is all about. You know?
Yeah.
So,
wow.
So yeah, that was my first introduction into acting,
the world of acting, and I love how the two just complimented itself. Like, your first role was singing and acting, like that's
mm-hmm.
perfect, especially since you said you're a singer first, you know, that's what you did first.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
To have those two. And how has singing and acting, like, gone hand in hand in your career over the years that you've been in the business?
Well, I always think of when I'm on stage singing, because there have been particular venues where I was there like a number of years. Say, for example, I was in one place when I first started singing, because believe it or not, The Color Purple launched me into my professional singing career.
Oh.
So I put acting on, I mean, it wasn't like I put it on hold. It's just, I wasn't pursuing it
mm-hmm.
for like 5 years right after The Color Purple came out. So I was in a jazz club singing
wow.
6 nights a week. But when you're on stage that way, I mean, 6 nights a week for 5 years, you kind of learn how to act some kind of way.
Yeah.
You know, whether you know it or not, you're learning, you're really honing your skills of acting.
Mm.
And so they've always gone hand in hand, because I'm being theatrical to a certain degree on stage as I'm singing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when I'm acting, I just rely on the comfort I have with singing. So they really complement each other.
Mm-hmm.
In my situation, so I don't know about anybody else, but I'm only speaking for my life. It has really been I used to tell people, I said, it's like being, like playing volleyball is back and forth, you know.
Yeah.
I may have a singing gig here. I may have an acting gig here. We're always working in some capacity,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, no, I think it's amazing that the two, you know, that you're, one, such a strong singer. You have a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
I've listened to your music, and your voice is very powerful and beautiful.
Oh, I just turn up the volume.
Yeah. I think it's so cool that that's how you got into acting. So prior to that, getting the role mm-hmm. in Color Purple, were you actually actively seeking like acting roles, or how did you even get that opportunity?
No, very interesting story, and I'll make it as quick as possible.
You don't have
that
to.
Well, good. And I give you the long version.
There's
no
time frame.
I'm not ashamed or afraid or hesitant to tell people now, because for a long time people were like, well, don't tell anybody your age, and don't tell anybody mm-hmm. you know, anything about this and that. And I'm like, why do you do this to me? And so I basically kept a little more quiet for a while. But I was in college. I did some things with the little theater, because I started out in theater, as we. A lot of us do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was in my senior year of college. I was living with this family, and a neighbor, they had to remind me of this a few years ago, because it had gotten a little cloudy after 34 years. I forgot when it was.
Mm.
35 years now, almost.
Colorful.
They remind, Yeah, The Color Purple. Yeah, it was 85. So I guess that's 34 years, something like that.
Yeah.
So they said a neighbor came over to them and said, we know Maria is into acting, so they're holding these auditions, a cattle call for this movie, The Color Purple. And so they were like, I was going to pass it up. And I'm like, I'm not doing that, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was very shy, to believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And so they told me, they said, go try for, you know, you want to, come on, go do it. And I did it because I trusted their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over, there had to be about 3,000 people auditioning for whatever role that was that none of us seemed to get. I don't know what it was for, because we were going up in groups, as you know what a cattle call is like.
Right, right.
And as we were on stage in the groups, they didn't ask us to sing or act or anything. They just wanted to look at us, so we know that was an extra. Nothing against extras. I would have been an extra in that movie with nothing to do, now that I know what it was.
Right.
So we got off of the stage, and something inside of me, I'm going to call it spirit, my Holy Spirit, said, you know, at least let the lady know that you sing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went up, I had a headshot, whatever that was, before I started acting, and I took it to her. I took it to her, I said, well, and I was so shy about it. I was so painfully, you know, but I've always lived my life with act in the midst of fear. Even when you're afraid of something, if it's something in your heart, do it anyway, you know, that's not going to hurt anybody. And so I went up to the casting director, and I said, well, do you mind keeping my picture on file? Didn't even know to call it a headshot then, hon. I said, picture.
Your picture.
I said, keep my picture on file, would you please? And, oh, by the way, I sing.
Mm.
That's how that happened. And she goes, oh, well, what do you know? And I cupped my hand to her ear, and I sang, God Bless the Child.
You, like a secret. Because
at that, yeah, seriously.
Wow.
No, seriously, because I was that, I didn't want anybody to look at me, you know?
Yeah, wow.
Because I was that kind of person that if you said sing on the spot, I couldn't do it because I was just not confident.
Right, right.
Now, you put me in front of a crowd and we're singing with the band or something, I'd sing all day long. But if you put me out by myself, you know, even though I sang in the choir, there was a choir with me.
Yeah.
My mom was on the choir.
Right.
It was a safe environment.
Right.
So I sang God Bless the Child, a little bit of that. And then she says, oh, do you know any gospel? I said, sure. She says, well, go and work something out and come back. And because I guess she was going through the other group. So I'm like, oh, wow. And all my friends who had come with me had already left.
Mm.
It was crazy. We waited 8 hours.
Wow.
For this. And so I went back up, a gentleman who was helping with the casting, who was also a professor at that college. It was at A&T's University. I went to Winston-Salem State University, but they had the auditions for this at A&T's campus. And he helped me.
Mm.
And we just worked some little something out. Next thing you know, I was being whisked back up on stage, camera in my face, sang a little bit of this, that, and the other, and next thing you know, I got a call the next day. I had no idea that was my screen test.
Oh, my goodness.
I had no idea. I was basically auditioning for the choir role.
Yeah.
So that was the first step, and then once we went to the city where they actually filmed it, there were 3 songs, to my knowledge, in The Color Purple that were going to be, you know, that they were choosing from my side of life. And each one had a soloist. And so I had to audition again for the solo spot for that song.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was it.
Wow.
And next thing you know, we're on set shooting.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's just,
yeah, it is.
It's like a whirlwind. Like, oh, I'm here.
It really was.
Because
I was actually working at my college. I had just gotten a job, and it was 4 months into my job. And I remember feeling like, my boss was wonderful.
Mm.
And she told me to go do it, and I came back, and I was trying to go back to business as usual.
Mm-hmm.
After we filmed, it was a great, exhilarating, exciting experience, meeting Quincy Jones and meeting all of them, Oprah, everybody, you know.
Yeah, wow.
And then, and I was a featured extra. So they bumped me up to featured extra. So that's how all that happened. And then when I got back to my job, I got a call from the band that performed at the rap party.
Oh,
and I was, someone said, why don't you go sing a song with the band, you know, since you're the choir soloist in the movie. And I did.
Wow.
They liked me. And they called me and said, hey, we want you to come and join our band. And I'm like,
oh,
I get to sing for a living.
Oh,
and it was amazing.
That is crazy.
And so But then I cried because it was in a different city, and I didn't want to leave my job because, you know, I came from that you got to have a regular job world. And I went and I talked to my boss, and I told her about it, and she said, go in the bathroom, get yourself together. I went and I prayed. I cried. I came back out, and she said, if you don't go, you'll regret it for the rest of your life. It makes me cry right now thinking about it.
Yeah, no, I have chills. Like, that's, wow.
And so I went, and here we are. You know, there have been a lot of bumps and bruises and a lot of lessons learned through the process, but I have not regretted it one day.
Wow.
Not one day.
I'm so not glad 1 minute. That your boss gave you that advice and that push. You know what I mean?
Because
sometimes I've heard stories where actors, they went to their boss, and their boss is like, you're crazy. Like, no, don't quit your job. Like, you know what I mean? You need this job, but to have someone to, like, give you that push, because who knows what, you know, what decision you would have made just out of, you know, fear, just uncertainty. So,
yeah.
I think that's amazing.
I agree. I agree. And I also feel that there is a divine order in things because I was working at, I don't believe in coincidences. Let me just put that out there now. Now, I believe we can get in the way and slow God's plan down for us, but I don't believe in coincidences. And I was working on my college campus, the college I went to, the college where everybody knew I was a singer. I was in the choir. I was Miss University. Everybody knew that. So these were people that were watching me and pouring into my life and supporting me.
Okay. So
she knew I sang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and I mean, the woman I stayed, the people I stayed with, I met them because I sang at an event they had.
Okay.
So all this singing has always been a thread for me in my life.
Right. And the people around you knew how important that was for you. Okay. So that was
more than I knew.
Got it. So that was a supportive move for her. Like, no, I support
Absolutely.
You. I push you, like, do this. That is
absolutely.
That's amazing. And the fact that the fact that you were timid and nervous to even, you know, tell the lady, like, hey, I sing, like, the fact that you did that, and then from that you got to sing in the movie, like your first acting and singing role. I mean, that's huge. And then getting an opportunity to sing with the band, like, professionally after that. Like, there's so many things that just happen, like, you know, in that short amount of time. And like you said, I don't believe in coincidences either. Like, I believe everything happens for a reason, and your path is laid out. And yes, you can get in the way of God's plan. Like, we definitely can get in the way, but just having, you know, just the series of events that happened, that's amazing. That's an amazing story. I'm glad you took the time to tell it.
Thank you for listening to. I mean, I'm still close with those particular band members that I grew up. They influenced me heavily and learning, because, I mean, they were all music majors. They all knew music. I didn't.
Wow.
They knew what to call things and to say this C and this C sharp. And I didn't know that then.
Wow. So that
I sang in the choir, but I didn't know.
Yeah, that was like your crash course, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And getting paid to learn. So that was a beautiful thing, too.
That's amazing.
And then I started studying. I started taking classes. I went to theory and acting for the camera. I started studying diligently as I was performing, because I was performing again 6 nights a week.
Yeah.
And you know,
wow,
it was the best. It was a great situation.
Yeah. So how long did you how long did you say you performed with the band? How many years?
That was about 5 years. 5 years. Five and a half. Something like that.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. And then after that, did you start? When did you transition more into acting, like actually pursuing it and, you know, going out for auditions?
Well, I had started it before I left the band. I started doing, you know, little trinkle things here and there. Right. But when I went to New York, I moved to New York right after that.
Okay.
It's interesting because I think I've always pursued singing more than acting until the most recent 10 years, 10, 15 years. Simply because that was just easier and simpler and quicker for me to do. So I moved to New York and auditioned for Broadway, still singing as much as I could. I was still traveling. And then an opportunity came to move to Japan. And so I did that.
Yeah.
And then acting was on hold again.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, because I went there for singing, you know. And, you know, but right before I went to Japan, I was in a theater production of Tambourines to Glory, and I played Maya Angelou's daughter.
Okay.
So that was, I think for me, in my career, it's so funny, and I'm sure a lot of actors say the same thing. Mm. If you start your career off with Steven Spielberg and Quincy Jones, that's the first thing.
Yeah.
Then the next time you are seriously on TV, you're with George Lucas. Then the next time you're on TV, you're with Tyne Daly and Gerald McCraney, and Alicia Silverstone. It's like, you don't know the reality. Like,
yeah, that's true.
You don't know right away that it's not like this all the time, girl.
Yeah, like, that just doesn't happen for everybody.
No.
At all. I mean, you've had some amazing opportunities. Got to work with amazing people.
Yeah.
Just amazing experience.
Yeah.
That's such a blessing. I love to hear that. Wow.
Now, and so what that it did two things, though.
Uh-huh.
It helped me raise a standard for myself, or put a standard there, but it also, it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to just let me know how good it could be, but it just makes me appreciate when it's not as good.
Yeah.
All of it's good because it's an experience, an opportunity. But it was very interesting.
Yeah. Now, okay, throughout your journey, you know, we've talked about a lot of the highs and, you know, the great opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what were some of the challenges and obstacles that you had to overcome?
Ooh, gosh. There have been, you know, I always have this thing that I say, as long as the good outweighs the bad. But I've had some low, tough times, and some of them, and I'm going to put them in kind of like categories.
Okay.
One of the categories is trying to manage your personal life and professional life. And I say that tentatively and specifically, being a female in the business. Simply because I may have wanted to have a family.
Yeah.
Pursuing a career and wanting to have a family, you really need to be, like, equally yoked to somebody so that they get it, whether they're in the business or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whether they're in it or not, you know, but that's there to support you for what God has set out for you. That's tough to find if you're so focused on career.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
The other aspect, and I just categorize that as your personal love life.
Mm-hmm.
The other category is just not knowing enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're learning as you go, and we never stop learning in life, but there was so much I didn't know.
Right.
I was so green.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are other things in life that can be tugging at you, for example, coming from a small town like I did.
Okay.
You know, even though I've always wanted to be an exploration person and experience life to the fullest, I was afraid.
Yeah.
And I didn't have anybody to ask the questions, like, going back to the knowledge base. So just those kinds of things, and just life in general.
Right.
Life. Don't even be, let's take us out of the business. Life is tough.
Yeah.
And so just trying to manage life and career at the same time, but it got to be a little scary a couple of places. I was engaged to be married some years ago, and we're planning the wedding, my fiancé died. And there you go. So what do you do with your career? You take your, 2 weeks, believe it or not, singing has been such a therapeutic thing for me. So that's why I don't look at it like I need to be some star. I look at it like it's my life.
Mm.
It's what I do.
Yeah.
It's not my God, but it is definitely in my place of, this is a gift God gave me. Mm. It is to help me.
Yeah.
It helps me, and I pray that it helps other people. And then, you know, I'm in Japan and I'm married, but then my father passes away and I'm not with the rest of the family. So that was tugging at me, you know, 3 years ago, my mother passed away, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just dealing with those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And I mean, let's take it to a lighter part. I mean, I remember one time I call it vacation. I really don't know what vacation means in our world. It's like you just take a day off and do something. but I remember being on a trip and fell and hurt my ankle off of a moped, trying to, you know, drive up and down a hill, honey. I wanted to be all renegade, and fell and hurt my ankle. Had to come back and sing on crutches. Because I understood back then, you got to keep on moving.
Yeah.
You know, so those hard lessons of the perseverance, and it's just in me.
Yeah.
I remember one time getting cut on the eyeball. I had to sing with a patch on my eye.
Oh, my God.
You know, just keep going. Stuff.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, my eye doctor said, you need to wear glasses to protect your eyes, not to see. But anyway, just life.
Yeah.
And we know that in this industry, oh, my goodness, we don't know all the time how we're getting paid, learning how to manage money.
Oh, that's a big one. Oh, my goodness.
You know? That right there.
Yeah.
When I wanted to take a class, and I'm like, I don't have that money to take that class. You know what? You better go look at some videos and look at some TV and learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And figure out some things. So I'm resourceful.
That's
very.
You have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the financial aspect, that's a big one. A lot of actors, you know, a lot of actors that I've talked to on the show, they say that's the big one, which I totally get, you know, just financially, the highs and the lows of bookings, you know, sometimes you're booking a lot, sometimes it's quiet and it's like, well, what do? You know, like having to be resourceful and figure something else out. Like it's a skill. It's definitely a skill.
You know what? And I think I'm in a very lovely place simply because I sing and I act and I do voiceovers.
Yes.
And I coach and I coach consult because creating several revenue streams is crucial. It's like, it's the way the world is now. You know, we just have to know how to make our living in more than one way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what has helped me in learning how to stay on a budget, because we tend to spend when we have it, and staying on a budget is hard.
Right.
Especially when the bills are piled up and then you got to get rid of those bills and stuff that comes through. It's a lot.
That's challenging, and it takes away from the, you know, the freedom to pursue your art. Like it's frustrating.
Yeah,
and, you know, that money piece it's tough. It really is.
Well, let's not talk about being in New York or LA and trying to do it and trying not doing your best not to be a slave to your rent.
Right.
Because as long as you are a rent slave or mortgage slave, you're going to be stressed and desperate, and you can't really do your craft well.
Right.
So that's, you know, that and people, when they see you on TV, I just want the public to know.
Mm-hmm. Talk about it.
That does not mean you got all the money in the bank.
Right.
Don't get it twisted, and don't go for fame, because that will fly away. That's fleeting.
Yeah.
It's like emotions, they're fleeting.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So to be able to just do the work that you're called to do that's most important.
So
you know?
True. Now, we know in this business, there's no blueprint. There's no, you know, you do this, and this will happen. Like, that just doesn't exist.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
No,
yeah,
it's true. Yeah. It's true. So, okay, just from your years of being a working actor, being in this business, you know, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but like, what advice would you give to someone that's just starting out and starting on this journey and on this path? What advice would you give them to navigate this business? Or how have you managed to navigate, you know, looking back now? Like, what are some of the things that you can attribute your success in the industry to?
To understand that success doesn't equal to fame. Mm-hmm. The first thing I would tell someone to do is to ask themselves the most important questions. They may be hard questions for some people and maybe not for others, but ask those hard questions, like, what am I on this earth to do? Let's start there. Let's take acting out of it, because most people go dive head first into it and just want to, I don't know what their motivation may be, but you're going to always come back to this ground zero moment. You're going to always come back to this, what am I, whether it's now or later, what in the world am I doing and why am I doing it?
Right.
People need to ask themselves that question. What is it I'm on this earth to do? What is my calling? Once you know that and face it, embrace it, and let that be your truth, then let's start from that place.
That's good.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you if you've got that calling and that passion to do this thing because you know it's going to help heal the world, I don't want to get too philosophical or, you know, whatever, but that's the real truth.
Yeah.
Once you know what that is for you, not anybody else, for you, that's a good starting point. Then you study, learn the skill, learn the business. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I would say is please don't compare yourself to anybody else, because we spend more time looking at what somebody else is doing when we may be missing the big thing for us. Mm-hmm. And the big thing may be, you never know. I'm pretty sure, I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty much 99% sure that Oprah Winfrey didn't spend all of her time worrying about somebody else.
Right, yep.
Oprah was into what Oprah needs. This Tyler Perry spend a lot of time worrying about somebody else and what they're doing and how they're doing. No, because right. They know they have a mission and a calling.
Yep.
You know what I mean? True. So when we start from that kind of place before we deal with the industry part of it, mm-hmm. then that makes the industry part of it go smoother. You're still going to have some challenges.
Right.
But at least you'll have balance and a foundation, a grounding.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there are going to be some times, Lord have mercy, when you feel like you're crazy.
Right. Yeah. I think what you said is so key, just having that foundation, because that will help to keep you focused and, you know, having mm-hmm. that purpose. Like, okay, because if you get kind of like off your path or distracted, you can always pull back to that purpose. Like, what am I doing?
Absolutely.
Like, why am I here? Like, always focus on that big picture, because there are going to be things that come your way and distract you and try to throw you off. But having that purpose and that foundation is key. It really is. It keeps
absolutely.
You on the path. Yeah. I think that's so.
You know.
I do.
you speak like you know. And,
yeah.
And then that's the thing. And until we wake up to it, you know, we'll wander around until we get it. And, you know,
yeah.
hopefully people get it, you know.
Yep. It's definitely
and
a journey.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, some purposes, I mean, there may be a purpose to serve, or you know, for this season in someone's life, but the things that I do now are not what I did in my 20s or my
30s. Yeah.
That's you notice
true.
I skipped the 40s, right? You notice I skipped the 40s, right? You know, so, guess what? Anyway, so seriously, though, people have different things mm-hmm. and callings and purposes that they do in different places of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, you know, once we know those things that we're supposed to do,
yeah.
that just makes everything so much better, so much fulfilled.
Yeah. And I love how you touched on the comparison piece, because I think that, oh my goodness, that's such a big thing that I think throws so many people off. We're always
mm-hmm.
looking at what this person is doing and what that person is doing. It's like, go back to
yeah.
the basics. Like, keep your eyes on your own paper. Like,
yeah.
just keep your eyes on your own paper. And like you said, like, these people that are super successful and doing, the people that we know, like Oprah and Tyler Perry, like, they did not get there to where they're at focusing on what someone else is doing. Because when you
That's
focus
right.
on other people, it takes away from what you could be doing or what you need to be doing.
That's right.
I'm so glad
That's
you
right.
touched on that, because that's a big
and,
one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And surrounding yourself with people that understand that you have something to do and you can give to them as well.
Yeah.
Because when we start recognizing everybody's here to do a job,
right.
There's a certain mission and a calling. And a lot of us don't do that because we're too busy living in the now and,
mm-hmm.
and things and stuff
yeah.
like that. Nothing wrong with things. I like nice things,
mm-hmm.
but I don't base my life and my journey on those things.
Right. It's true.
You know,
yeah. Now, how big, you know, we touched a little bit about like faith and spirituality. Like, how big has your faith been on your journey? Like,
it's been everything.
It's been everything. Yeah. Yeah.
It's been everything. Now, I'm not going to say I was always disciplined and obedient to it,
mm-hmm.
but it saved me. It really, it's been the lifeline.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
It's been the lifeline.
Because
there were times when I thought I was going to be out of here.
Mm.
And not to, you know, I think I'm too chicken to commit suicide, but I remember a couple of times in my depression spaces where I said, God, I won't be mad if you let me go tonight.
Wow.
Just take me tonight.
Mm.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Because,
yeah.
and all of it wasn't so much the industry as it was, I was letting my emotions rule me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get caught up in things that can make you sad. That's normal. We're human.
Mm-hmm.
Things make you disappointed. There have been roles. I'm going, I know that should have been my role in
mm-hmm.
my mind. You know, I know that should have been my... And you get disappointed. And then, you know, the more I lived life and the more I relied on my faith, the stronger I got in certain areas to let things go.
Yeah.
Let it go. That ain't yours. Let it go. Mm-hmm. It's blessing somebody else. That ain't yours.
Right.
But what is mine has been mine. So I get caught up in that, you know.
Yeah.
It's been everything. My faith has been, I can't say it enough, everything.
Yeah. No, it's important to have that grounding and to know, mm-hmm. you know where you're, know that there's something bigger and knowing
mm-hmm.
where
mm-hmm.
all your blessings come from, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and like you said, what's for you is for you, like, and not getting attached to that. Like, that's not yours.
Yeah.
Let it go. Like,
yeah.
So simple.
Yeah.
It sounds so simple.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something you have to kind of like work on every day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Now, I want to ask you about auditioning and just your mm-hmm. process when it comes to auditioning. And has your process changed over the years? Or
oh, like, God, yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No,
yes.
Yeah. Like, what?
So, I'm sorry. Let's finish your question.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just had flashbacks.
Yeah, like, okay, how has it evolved over the years? That's the question.
Let me get a drink of water. Oh, Lord. I sucked in the beginning. Oh, my God. Okay. I learned through the one thing I do have to say, in all seriousness, mm-hmm. is I learned to embrace an audition. And I told myself, which is true, it's part of the work process.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't audition, they can't see you to even get you booked. So why are you rejecting the audition when you just want to get booked? You got to put this work in too, girlfriend.
Yeah.
So what I started doing was putting more care and more love in the audition process. And I count that as step one of the booking. Step two may be or may not be a callback. Step three is the booking. Step four is you do a great job and you wait for it to air or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I really had to change my mindset because let's go back to when I said I was shy. I was very, I didn't like to be examined.
Mm.
I didn't want anybody critiquing me and criticizing me because it's a weird thing.
Yeah.
And for all of us. But I was really like painfully shy with that.
Mm-hmm.
So audition, that meant that for me.
Yep.
Because they're looking at all my flaws. Oh my God, they're looking at me. What am I doing wrong? And I was sabotaging myself.
Wow.
There was no way. I don't even know how I booked the first few things I booked. I think Color Purple because I was singing.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a comfort zone for me.
Right.
So it was very, very difficult for me. And then, like I said, once I started getting better, I started studying. I started taking classes,
mm-hmm.
privates and group classes. And I just got more confident. And then I remember one time I was doing a show. This is the one with George Lucas, because I think this came like 5 or 6 years after The Color Purple.
Okay.
And I remember being in that audition. I was nervous as I don't know what. I'm telling you. I was shaken.
Mm.
And the casting director said to me, because he knew me. He already knew. And he told the L.A. casting directors, the producers, he said, can we have a minute? And he walked me outside, just like my boss did when I was going to do the singing with the band. He walked me outside and he said, Maria, you can do this. You know this, right?
Mm.
And I said, yeah. He said, go on. Look, they sent me to the bathroom again. Go in that bathroom. I just thought about that.
There's a
bathroom. Yeah.
Go
to that bathroom, get yourself together, and let's go out and get this thing.
Wow.
And I went in there. I looked in the mirror because I used to do this when I was a kid, look in the mirror and talk to God. And I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I don't want to mess this up and blow it because you've given it to me, and I don't want to blow it.
Mm.
So I said my little prayer, went back in there, auditioned, did the thing, and the producers from L.A., the casting directors from L.A. said, bump. Somebody else actually had the role.
Wow.
I didn't know it.
Oh, wow.
They got me. They. I'm not saying they fired her, but they replaced her with
me.
I won't call any names.
Yeah.
I will not call any names because you'll know exactly who she was. It amazed me. I'm like, why are you placing me with, I mean, her with me? But, you know, that again.
That's crazy.
So I, yeah. So that kind of thing, I had to get that confidence together.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
Yeah. So just over time, confidence and just owning it when you go. And like you said, embracing it.
Yeah. And manage the demons, because all my demons came from insecurity. Yeah. I'm not good enough. I'm from a small town. They're going to look at me crazy. You know, right. I'm 9-to-5 mentality. It's just so many things. I mean, plus, I'm a biology. I'm a pre-med major. Mm. I didn't study the music before I started doing it professionally.
Wow.
I did it the opposite direction.
Right. And that's what I love about your story, because you're still here. Like, it doesn't even matter, you know, because what's for you is for you. That's what it goes back to. I love that.
Yeah.
Wow. And I love the, along the way, like the people you've had along your journey to kind of push you, be like, hey, you got this.
Yeah.
Like, reinforce that, validate that in you. That's huge. Everyone needs that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, even in the story I just told you, that was for Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, I worked with Keith David and Jeffrey Wright.
Oh, wow.
I mean, Jeffrey Wright is who helped me get my first agent in New York.
Wow.
You know, yeah. Keith David helps me think through voiceovers. You know, so the relationships are important, too. That's another thing, let's backtrack, and some advice I give people, is nourish and nurture your relationships that are meaningful.
Right.
Not the ones just because you want to connect with somebody because of who they are or what they do. But genuinely develop and nurture relationships.
Yeah, because you just never know, like you said, how it can come full circle, or how you guys will connect later down the line, how they'll be a part of your story. You just never know.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's beautiful. I love that. It's so beautiful. Now, we talked earlier about purpose a little bit and just knowing your purpose. Like, what, I don't know if you had mentioned it, but I just wanted to ask, like, what do you feel your particular purpose as an artist is?
Well, it's really interesting that you ask that, because there have been times I've asked myself that question. I'm like, okay, now how am I piecing all this together? Mm-hmm. Okay. I honestly feel at this point in my life, my purpose is to heal. Mm. And it's interesting that it goes back to me being a pre-med major. When I was a little girl, I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be a nurse. That was my first major when I went to college, before I changed it and knew I had to do some blood. I was a nursing major. and then I wanted to be a counselor. So I stepped back and I looked, and I was like, all of these things are to help people. Yeah. I've taught school, you know. And I'm going, okay, I see this where it's going, Maria, but what is your true purpose? And through thinkers, I used to think if I was going to do all those things, I had to do it that way, in the traditional, stereotypical way. And I one day woke up and said, oh, so basically you've been doing all that with singing. You basically, that's your platform. Get it together. So it's to heal the heart. And I'm going to tell you why I know I'm saying this. And the same thing with acting, because there have been times when I've come off stage, off that microphone, and I have had people say to me, I saw God in you. The light.
Wow.
Now this is what really took it to the next phase. When I have come off a TV set, I was doing a TV show and walking the set, and these two young ladies, African-American, that just, I had to really hold my head back because they all made me cry. And I was like, I can't cry the makeup off right now because I'm going to go on set.
Right.
But they stopped me, because I always speak to everybody. I'm always talking. And so they stopped me and said, we want to let you know that you are doing a great thing for us. You've given us something to look forward to.
Wow.
They were PAs.
Oh, my goodness.
I think they were PAs or extras. I can't remember. But one of the two, these two young black girls came to me and said that. It's like, you make us, I know what she said. She said, you make us proud. That's what she said. They said to me, you make us proud. I had never met these young ladies. If you're getting that through me acting, that is huge, because that means I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
And those are the kinds of things I think God gives us, those little nudges to let us know, to encourage us to keep fighting the fight.
Right. To keep going.
And I'm these days I'm more and more transparent about my life, and in between all these Instagram and Facebook pictures and things like that, there are still tears. I'm not saying they're the same tears I cried a long time ago, but there are still tears there. Every day's not rosy.
Right.
It's not about that. It's how I handle it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that going back to that grounding, is how you navigate. Because in L.A., when you get a parking ticket, yeah, I could have used some choice words a long time ago. But now, now I go, oh, shoot, I got a ticket. I guess I got to pay that. Okay, yeah. And I've seen my growth. Mm. So when people can see that, and I'm doing something good for the world, then I know my purpose is to heal and to help inspire. I know that.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that you know that, too. And yeah. that you're walking in that through singing, through performing, acting. Like, mm-hmm. you're living that, you know. And I love how you notice the patterns throughout your life.
Yeah.
Everything you're doing is to heal. You're healing people. That's big. Mm-hmm. Wow. That keeps you on track, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a very... It's a humbling thing. Mm-hmm. I have to say that. It's a very humbling thing because I wake up a lot of times now and I said, I'm sorry, God. I was so hard-headed. I mean, yeah. I got it. Thank you so much for sparing me another day to do something right, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's, oof, yeah. I know. I walk in it and I encourage others to find theirs and walk in theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really do.
Definitely. It takes. I think it takes a lot of seeking and inner work, you know, to really tap into that. Just like quieting all the noise down and just really getting still and really trying to figure that out. I mean, I don't think it has to be so hard, but I think there's just a lot of distractions out there that can kind of pull you away from like the real meaning of what you're supposed to do and what we're here to do. The real assignment.
You are a very wise woman. Oh, yes, you are. You get it. You get it.
I get it. I really, really do. Mm-hmm. Wow. Ooh, I got chills. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, you get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to me about Bewildered? That's the film.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going through the film festivals right now, right?
Yes. It's such a nugget. I love that. I love that film. This is a film that Keith David and I play a married couple, a singing married couple.
Yeah.
And we have a son, and Keith, his character is Joseph Honoré. My name is Sarah. Mm-hmm. He gets early dementia. Mm. And so this deals with how it discusses and approaches this whole discussion about early dementia, Alzheimer's, and the effects on each person, how it affects the person, how it affects the people that love that person, you know, and all the things around. And it's a 30 minute short, and it's so much said in that 30 minutes that it's like mind blowing.
Wow.
And Keith does a stellar job as he always does. Everybody's like, Bishop. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was an honor to be able to sing and act again in a project. And also to join forces after all these years working with Keith again. Because we hadn't worked since like the early 90s. So that's what it talked about. And one of the main things with the singing aspect, it shows how music is a bridge from reality in the Alzheimer's or the early dementia.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's a beautiful story because the writer and director, his name is Gregor Wilson, his father suffers from this. And Gregor is also a pianist, and he sends his father music. His father lives in Scotland, and he sends his father music. And they say, I've learned, that the music capacity in your brain is like the last to go. So that's a way of reaching them and just, you know, if you notice sometimes if an older person who has dementia, if you play a certain song, they can start singing that song.
They still know the song. Wow.
They know the song. It brings back memories. Mm. Yeah, and they can do that. So that's what this movie, The Gist, is about. It shows the effects of Alzheimer's and early dementia.
Wow.
And we've had Alzheimer's organizations in certain cities that we've gone to come and join us and get up and speak. And
that's
a real nice stuff.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Very.
Wow.
Yeah. And right now we're working on the full length feature.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're going to be working on that. So
how did you get connected with the project?
relationships.
Yeah.
And doing the work without worrying about when you're going to get the work. Gregor Wilson and his wife, Anne, who wrote the film, Gregor directed it, but they wrote the film. These are two people that worked in production when I worked with Keith back in the early 90s.
Mm, look at that.
I knew them. I met them. We were all cool with each other because they took care of all the actors in production, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so they kept in touch with Keith even more so than I did, because Keith and I had, you know, I was shy. I didn't keep in touch with people. I didn't know how to do that because I felt like I had nothing to offer. Like, what do I talk to Keith David about? He's like a big star in my eyes, you know,
right.
back then. Mm-hmm. And so as time went on, about 10 years ago, something like that, a little longer, I mean, maybe something like that, Gregor and his wife reached out to me because they were working on a project in Atlanta when I was singing in Atlanta. And so we kind of reconnected. And next thing you know, they reconnected me with Keith. And so we're all one big happy family of actors and production folks again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then fast forward to now, Gregor wrote the film. He's written several others.
Okay.
And he just had in mind, he knew Keith sang as well.
Yeah.
He knew I sang. So again, here we go, people knowing. Mm-hmm. And the genre of music, he knows that I do a lot of traditional jazz.
Right.
And so he offered it to me. Wow. And offered it to Keith.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. That's beautiful.
And when I read the script, there was no way I was going to turn it down.
Yeah. I mean, when I read what the story was about, I was like, oh, this is perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, since you sing and, you know, like, I was like, that's amazing.
It's a beautiful, beautiful film.
Wow. I would hope, you know, that the world will be able to see it, because I'd love to be able to watch it.
I pray that they do too, because it's so interesting. A lot of the audience members from wherever we go, when you get to the Q&A portion, nobody can talk because people are crying.
Really?
Because everybody is affected by this movie simply because they know someone, or they were married to someone that had dementia or Alzheimer's, and or currently having to deal with that. They're caretakers. It seems like one out of every two people that I talk to in that audience, they're affected by this.
Wow.
They can relate to the story.
And didn't you guys receive the audience award?
Yes, at the Charlotte Black Film Festival.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yes. That's really cool. It's really awesome to be a part of a project that's having such an impact and, you know, people can relate to it. I know that feels really great.
It did. It really, really did.
Yeah. Now, can you talk about, this is my final question. I feel like I've been asking so many questions.
This is great.
Oh, good. can you tell me about the charity that you're a part of, Students Without Mothers?
Oh, yes, I'm happy to. Students Without Mothers is a charity. Through singing. This charity, as I was performing in Atlanta, I met the founder of this charity, Mary Torrance Williams, and she lost her mother at an early age, and her mother lost her mother at an early age. Mm-hmm. Mary has a daughter who had a friend whose mother had passed away, and her friend wanted to go to college. So Mary stepped in and said, well, let's see if we can get a little money to help your friend out. That turned into several people being helped. There were other students that needed that kind of help. They didn't have their mothers in their lives, whether it's death, incarceration, and it's not about girls. It's about high school seniors going to college.
Okay.
So what we do, and I'm on the advisory board, I've been affiliated with them for about maybe 9 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We raise scholarship funds to help these kids get to college.
Mm.
Simple as that, because their mothers are not there.
Wow.
They may have their fathers, they may or may not, but they definitely do not have their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mary could immediately relate to that because she lost her mother.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's my one of my friends that I was really close with growing up, when we were in, I think, fifth grade, her mom passed away of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just knew it was just like different, my life and her life after that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was just such a... You just could see, like, the effect that it had, like, her losing her mom, you know? So I think that is such a big charity. Like, that's a big thing. That's such a great charity to have, like, students without mm-hmm. mothers. Like, because there's so many, you know, so many students that lose their mothers or, you know, just don't have that strong support system in their lives. So I think that's
brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very necessary.
It is. And it's, and the scholarships are not, I mean, they're like $1,000. These are like sub scholarships in a way, if you will, mm-hmm. Because they're like $1,000 a year. And a lot of the students go to colleges right around Georgia.
Okay, okay.
And so they really are crucial. And for some of these students, this made the difference of them going to college or not going to college.
Wow.
And it's really cool because we stay in touch with these students. They have life coaches. They all get laptops to start out their college careers. It's just amazing. And so Mary, like I said, she started this, and we've gone, it's 15 years old this year.
Wow.
Yeah, really, really important scholar of charity. And I've been, I support them by performing. I perform at some of the events.
Oh,
and
that's right.
Last year I had a holiday event, and Lou Gossett Jr. was our special guest.
Oh,
and so, you know,
gosh.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's just, again, relationship.
Yeah.
Because he and I have, since Daddy's Little Girls, you know, we've kept in touch, and he's just a lovely gentleman, and we all just do our best to raise these scholarships, and there are different events we have throughout the year that are amazing, and the mm-hmm. students get to participate in some of them, so it's just wonderful.
That
it's a worthy great. Cause.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like it's so fulfilling. That has to be.
It is.
Wow.
It is. I have another charity that I'm affiliated with called Ava's Heart,
okay.
and that's here in California. Although both these charities, you know, it's worldwide, you can donate worldwide, but they're based in these places. And Ava's Heart deals with heart transplantation patients.
Mm.
Ava herself had a heart transplant. And so, and tomorrow, as a matter of fact, I'm emceeing and hosting and singing on the event, at the event in L.A. and Beverly Hills.
Okay.
So we raise money to help fill in the gaps when people, when families come, that we help provide housing. We help provide things in the gaps of the things the hospital or insurance don't provide.
Mm-hmm.
They need a ride to the hospital.
Yeah.
We provide those kinds of things. So we raise money to do those things as well.
Wow. That's a great cause too. You are,
yeah.
You're amazing. You really are. Seriously. I mean, I feel like just listening to your story and just how your life has unfolded, you know, ups, downs, like
mm-hmm.
you just have such a great outlook, a great perspective on things. Like, you're just, your energy is just really beautiful. So I just have to tell you that.
Oh, you're so sweet. Same to you too.
Because
one thing I have to say that I love about you, you are really consistent and persistent in the best way.
Thank
you. You're diligent. That's a better word. Diligent.
Wow.
Because you get things accomplished because you know you need to get things accomplished. You know, and congratulations, you have, I don't think I didn't stalk you. You have over 100 podcasts, and it was so funny, as I was
yes.
going through your list, I'm like, there's so many of my friends she's interviewed.
Yes.
Oh my God, this is cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. That means so much to me. I'm definitely just trying to, like, keep this going, because I feel like it's such a great platform, and I love learning
yeah.
about other actors and their stories. It encourages me, and I know it
oh,
encourages
good.
Listeners. So thank you so much. That means a lot.
You're welcome.
Oh.
You'll be like inside the actor studio used to be when they had
yes.
it on television.
That's like,
you now.
Yes. That's what, like, me and my husband, that's the vision. We're just like, we want to, like, turn this into, like, a TV show or just something, you know, so we can,
oh,
like,
go do it.
Yeah, that's the goal. So thank you for that. I really
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It. Can you let the listeners know where they can keep up with you on social media or where they can keep up with you in
oh,
your
yeah.
journey?
Absolutely. People can go to mariahowell.com. And I was like, I try to spell it out. It's just simple. Maria Howell, H-O-W-E-L-L.com. And you can find out quite a bit from me there.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. But all those things, if you go to mariahowell.com, all those things are there to be able to find me. And I answer emails, believe it or not.
Yes. Yes, you do. That's why we're here.
I answer emails. I like to do the personal touch, though, seriously. I really, because I'm always doing my best to put myself in others' shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I remember when this was right after we filmed The Color Purple.
Mm-hmm.
And I say film because we've filmed it back then, because a long time ago. Anyway, so we filmed Tales of Terrifying. 85. And then there was this concert that Patti, I love Patti LaBelle. Mm. And Patti LaBelle was in concert, I mean, literally right after maybe a week or so. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But she was in concert. And I went to that concert. I had my two little young sisters with me. Mm. And I know, God, this was meant to be, because I was like, not ever would I leave my two little sisters in the care of somebody else. Mm-hmm. But we were in this big amphitheater, and I said, you two, sit right here. I'm only going down here. Don't move. And I told the people sitting beside me, I said, watch my sisters. Right. You watch them. And I walked down the aisle. Well, actually, Patti LaBelle, for some reason, you know how she gets people on stage. And she looked me in my eyes. And that was it. I knew right then. And I said, let me sing. Don't know where that came from.
Oh, my gosh.
And I got up on stage. Patti LaBelle had me up on stage. Oh, it made the newspaper the next day, which is crazy. Mm. So the point I'm trying to make is, do what is in your heart. Mm-hmm. And I will never forget how that felt. When Patti LaBelle looked and she said, bring her up here, because I know what that feels like. So I'm always remembering what the audience feels like. They're looking at us wanting to do what we do if they're not doing it already. Or even if they have started, they want to be better. I'm always an open book to answering a question. Yeah, you can find that information on the internet. But guess what? It always means more and has more value when a live person is talking to you.
Yes. It's so
looking true. You in the eye and talking to you.
Yep.
And listening to you.
Yeah. It makes it.
So that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I vowed then, I said, we'll never forget how an audience member felt, because I know how she made me feel.
Mm, yeah. It's powerful. And then if you're in a position to be able to affect someone in that way, and you, mm-hmm. you have the ability to do that, it's like, that is, mm-hmm. that's a responsibility, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you for being open to being on the show and, you know, just being here. I'm grateful.
Well, thank you for having me, and it's my pleasure, and I wish you nothing but complete success in all that you have to do.
Thank you. Likewise, I wish you continued success. So it's awesome. Talking
Thank you.
With you. Well, you have a good rest of your day, and I'll talk with you soon.